Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Today we are continuing a new series of messages entitled Pictures of Jesus from John's Gospel, and we shall be taking one picture from each chapter. Today we are looking in the second chapter, where we see Jesus as Son of Man turning water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. This was a homely occasion, and it is the first of many miracles that John recorded in his Gospel. Because they uplift the Lord Jesus, we are sure you will find this message is a help and a blessing to you. Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. If this broadcast is a blessing to you, please write to us. Stay tuned as Maurice Payne speaks to you.
In the second chapter of John's Gospel, we see Jesus in a family setting. This is quite important because sometimes today Jesus cannot be found in the home of those who profess to be his followers. He's in their public life, but not their private life. Get behind the closed door of their home and you're hard put to find any difference between theirs and the home of those who do not know the Lord. Same music, television programs, conversation and behavior, and the name of Jesus hardly, if ever, mentioned. Jesus began his work by contacting individuals when he called the disciples, for example. His ministry and the first miracle were recorded by John at a marriage feast. And here in the second chapter of John's Gospel, and the second picture we're drawing from the Gospel of John, we see Jesus in a very familiar, homely setting. Jesus loves to come into the home, and we need him in family life. He's able to meet our need and to bring his peace and healing and happiness where all too often there's dissension and strife. Now the second chapter only bears out what we read in the first, namely that the Word became flesh and lived among us. God in Christ did not only come to us, he became one of us. And if we are to know him, it will be through this truth that the Son of God became a man, the humanity of Christ. So with the object of deriving help from what happened in the village of Cana, we look at in more detail at what happened and their significance. It was in a family circle that Jesus revealed his glory. He arrived in Cana with Simon, Peter, Andrew, Philip, and Nathanael, whom he had called to be his disciples. They were new to their master and to their calling. John's mention of this being the third day at Cana may mean it was just 3 days after the call of Nathanael. And you may know Nathanael's exclamation, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel," was a prophetic utterance, though Nathanael could not really know at this point what he was to find in the teacher into whose service he had enlisted. It was merely that he thought Jesus to be the greatest teacher one could find and follow. The events at Cana were to transform these who responded to a call to put their faith in him. Now let's listen as Hilary reads us the story from John chapter 2.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. John 2, verses 1 to 9a.
It's important to realize that Jesus' work began in the home circle, because our expectation of him is just the opposite. We expect him to be in the world as a healer, miracle worker, peacemaker, and then we wonder if we can invite him into our family and home, and if we can expect him to have time for our personal needs. Not so. Water into wine at a family wedding was number one priority for Jesus that day. This incident enables us to examine the humanity of Jesus as demonstrated by his presence at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. As you heard, the chapter begins, "A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited." It's obvious they'd accepted this invitation, for Jesus and his newly enlisted disciples were there. The scriptures record it in this way to encourage men to invite Jesus into their special and joyous occasions. Risen from the dead and exalted to heaven's place of honour as he now is, he's still the Son of Man, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit accepts such invitations. It is likely that his presence at the wedding curbed any excess revelry, but that could only be a good thing, couldn't it? And it didn't diminish true joy, but Jesus being there rather enhanced it, especially when they ran out of wine and he replenished the depleted supply for them. The reason for this calamitous situation is not told us. Why did they run out of wine? Well, you can ask why for anything, can't you? Maybe the size of the crowd had been underestimated, or additional guests had arrived, which wouldn't be surprising when they heard Jesus was there. Or was their thirst excessive? We don't know. What we can say is this: when the Son of Man is among the children of men, he only blesses them by meeting the needs that arise. Now, this was an unexpected miracle, wasn't it? The miracle that took place that day in Cana was an unexpected event that bride and groom and all present would never forget. Even in this day, when marriage sadly is entered upon so lightly and broken so easily, inviting Jesus, the Son of Man, to be present at the ceremony should secure his blessing upon the life. Now look at a mother's request. The mother of Jesus may well have been responsible for the arrangements. She certainly knew when the supply of wine ran out, and Jesus, though now entered upon his ministry, was her son and was one of the guests. She was not addressing a celestial being no longer interested in or attentive to her needs anymore. We can make the mistake of feeling that Jesus is remote. Firstly, because he's now in heaven, and secondly, because he is God. Now, both these facts are true, but he's the Son of Man, and Mary did not think we cannot ask Jesus, as so many of us do. The Son of Man wants to be called upon by the children of men. Those who know the Lord need to share with him more. Take Jesus into every department of your life. Why did Jesus tell his mother that his time had not come? Mary said, "They have no wine," obviously expecting Jesus to do something about it. Did Mary feel this could be the first of the miracles her son could perform to be accepted as Messiah? We don't know. His answer, "My time has not yet come," didn't mean the time for performing miracles hadn't arrived, for he promptly went ahead to perform one. It was that his time for appearing as the Messiah and claiming the honour by virtue of his sacrifice had not yet come. The time to begin to manifest his glory, that is, to reveal who he was, had arrived. Mary's responsibility at this wedding feast would seem to be borne out by the way that she was able to tell the servants to do whatever Jesus told them. If not responsible for the catering, she was respected by the servants and her word would be heeded. Her counsel to them is good for all time. She said, "Do whatever he tells you." The servant does not necessarily understand his master, but obediently carries out his orders. The servants could fill the jars with water, but to draw some out and take to the governor of the feast called for an act of faith. So it is with God in our lives today. If we have felt the Lord calling us to himself, we mustn't be surprised to find he demands that we trust him, trust his word, trust what the Holy Spirit reveals to us about him. Here in Cana, the Son of Man, working among and for men, used the agency of servants. Servants were the chosen vessels, and the servants of the Lord Jesus are his chosen vessels today. He speaks through their voice, uses their hands, and it is their behavior that his love is read. Then listen to what the record of John says.
The master of the banquet did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now."
When we see how Jesus cared for others and worked for them, it's not surprising that his disciples were immediately attracted to him. The disciples might have said, "He told the servants to fill the jars with water and then miraculously turned it into wine when they poured it out, and only a few of us knew about it." Now the Son of Man came among us, and though he was God incarnate, he worked alongside us, and by his Spirit he continues to do so today. Now, the disciples believed. And every revelation we get of Jesus, every advance in the Christian life, is that we may believe. They put their faith into him. This down-to-earth domestic miracle indicated that this was God and this was one of us. Faith is something that grows. Trust is an ever-expanding commitment. You trust a little, find it true, and then you can trust more. You trusted him in what happened yesterday. Now something different is likely to happen today. That is just what John means when he tells us that when Jesus manifested his glory at the wedding in Cana, his disciples began in reality to tread that path of trust that would eventually make them the apostles and pillars of the early church. It's the same for us all. We are called to follow Christ and then to trust what we know of him. Like these disciples at Cana, we trust in him. And like them, as we walk with him, our knowledge of him grows. Every step taken with Jesus is a new experience. And the one who, as God's Son, comes right alongside us is the Son of Man. When a great man comes to town, he usually stays in the best hotel. And though he may be over us, he doesn't live with us. When Jesus comes, he dwells among us. Born in a stable, he's at home in the humblest dwelling, or even when there is no dwelling, we can expect to find him abiding in the heart of all who trust him. Because his disciples put their trust in him, they had a real experience of Jesus and a new experience that day. I'm reminded of the jailer at Philippi. You remember when Paul brought the gospel into Europe and was thrown into prison, and Paul with Silas sang praises? Listen to that story.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." That's found in Acts 16, verses 25 to 31.
So that jailer in Philippi was told he had to believe in Jesus. And the disciples at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when they saw what had happened, they believed in Jesus. You can't advance. You can't move forward. You can't find anything about God until you come as a sinner to the Saviour, and believe in Jesus. That his disciples put their trust in him here when they saw how glorious their master was is not the full story, but merely the beginning. Believing in Jesus isn't receiving something and forgetting about it until it's needed, like a ticket on a train in your pocket till you need to show the ticket collector. You will not see all the glory God has when first he makes his abode with you. But if you put your trust in him, he will lead you to higher planes and heavenly realms. That trust can be the lifeline that keeps his light shining and his love flowing in every day that lies ahead of you. The thing that changed that wedding in Cana and that has changed countless lives and situations since is what we may call the Jesus touch. It was because Jesus was there that all this happened. Because he attended the wedding, the water was turned to wine. The Jesus touch is both human and divine. Human because it is man to man, and divine because it's God to man. It's a touch that can be felt in any life that will invite him in. It's a touch we all need, a touch that you need in your life if you are to accomplish that for which God calls you. Of course, in many cases, it was physical contact Jesus made. to the leper who came for cleansing, to the 12-year-old girl whom he raised to life, to the blind man whose sight he restored. And it was the outstretched arm of Jesus that grabbed Peter as he sank beneath the waves. But on many occasions, there was no physical contact. At Cana, at the wedding, it was a word of command, prepared by the advice given by Mary. The servants obeyed, and the glory of Jesus broke through. Think of some of the other incidents in the Gospels, where it was the word that Jesus spoke that it brought the healing and the miracle. How about the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17?
Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Luke 17, verses 11 to 14.
So Jesus didn't touch these lepers. He just spoke them a word of command, and they obeyed and received the blessing. All you may have to go on is the word of the Lord. Before any manifestation of his glory or tangible evidence, you must believe. That's the first step you must take. As the man did who came to Jesus begging him to come and heal his son who was so close to death. Listen to that incident from Luke chapter 7.
So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed."
Faith is expressed in obedience. The man Christ Jesus will come to us. Because he's the Son of Man, he knows our need and can meet it. He is here with us always, as he promised. We need to understand and appreciate this. Though she knew her son to be called the Son of the Most High, Mary recognized that he could help in their need that had suddenly struck the wedding celebration. She knew her son understood the feeling of dismay they had when the wine ran out, because he was human. We need to realize God can and will come to help us today. Jesus acted kindly and wisely, no chastising for failing to anticipate the need, no embarrassment to those concerned, not a spectacle at which to marvel, yet it accomplished a far wider purpose than providing wine for the guests. Jesus showed his disciples who he was, and the disciples believed on him. We need to see who Jesus is and believe on him. It was only the beginning. Much more was to come: healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the storm, and the Mount of Transfigurations. What a thrilling future the disciples have now then. You put your trust in what you see of Jesus now. Walk with him in the road where you are, the path that lies ahead of you. Learn of him. Drink deeply the water of life he gives. He's not a God that we cannot reach. The Son of Man came into the world to save sinners. Call upon him to save you if you've not already done so. Reach out and receive him into every part of your life. Life is full of instances where men and women have suddenly become aware that it's the Lord who's working in their midst. At Cana, Jesus showed that he is with us, right alongside us, and will continue to be there if we trust and obey him.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every day when you pray, say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.